We are going to start, and we've talked about it already, we are starting a new series next week called Full of It. And if you're not in a small group, you should get in a small group. And I'm telling you this right now, this series is going to do two things. It's going to reshape how those of us who have started a relationship with Jesus and are walking in one, how we look at him. We will never see him the same. And then for someone who does not know Jesus, doesn't have a personal relationship with Jesus, doesn't even understand what that means when I say it, when they go through this series, they will, I promise, see him in a way that is undeniably wonderful. And so I want you, and I'm challenging everybody in here, I've already done it, to please invite a friend, one friend, or post an invitation on some social media platform to come and sit through 3 weeks of this series and potentially even get in a short-term small group so you can discuss what it is we're all going through. So I made a challenge last service to some of us in here about posting it. Who would be willing to post an invitation to everyone they know on their social media? Who would just be willing just by a show of raising your hands? Okay, some of you. All right, so that's at least like, I don't know, somewhere between 6 and 65. I'm counting on 65. And invite someone to this. Students, man, like you got to get into this one. Like your friends need to hear this. And it's going to be a game changer for so many. So I don't know if I've ever put so much intense study into this series. I think that it's going to be refreshing for so many of you, and I think it's going to be enlightening for others. So please, please, please come and be a part of this thing. As you can see, we're all wearing these shirts today because a dear friend of mine, Christina, who goes to this church, was diagnosed with brain cancer, and in the past 4 weeks has had brain surgery and had a tumor removed and is now undergoing weeks and weeks of radiation and chemotherapy. And so we are all today standing with Christina Fitzer because we want her to know how loved she is. Can you guys get on board with that? I mean, come on, wake up in here. I mean, what is going on? I'm about to throw these ping pong balls at you. We are going to stand with someone who is suffering and who is going through a very challenging season, and this is what we should do. This is what we should do. And this couple has been coming to our church. I've known this couple. My wife and I went on a trip with this couple years ago, went on a week vacation, and I sat down this Friday with Brett, Christina's husband, and we just talked and we reminisced and we talked about how, you know, before you have kids and before you have some of the responsibilities we have now, that you just can't anticipate something like this happening. And if you can just like go there with me for a second, you know, Christina was just not feeling well, and then she was really, really tired, and she was having migraines, and she was, you know, sleeping 14, 15, 16 hours a day, and then she went and got a scan and realized that she had a tumor. And that was all in 2017. And then within 4 weeks, she had surgery, and now she's going through chemotherapy. I mean, can you just imagine? I mean, just just how challenging that is. And so we are with them, and I sat with Brett, and we talked about some amazing things. And I, if you can believe it or not, Brett and I got to know Brett because I started my first band with Brett, and he was my drummer. And it's just funny how the world works. Like, those of you know David McCreary, who's a lot of, you know, MC here and kind of the captain of funny, which I just made up. He is not a captain of anything. That's just so you understand what he does. He does sleight of hand magic, and so does Brett. And the lights are going out. Are we good? It's fine. I like it better darker anyway. I can see you better. But and so I, you know, Brett knew David before I knew David, and it's just this thing, and he's an amazing guy, and I got to sit with him, and I told him that we were going to wear these t-shirts today, and so I just posted something on my social media, a picture of the staff wearing these. Would you please go and retweet that? please go find it, retweet it, like it on Instagram, and let's all together do our part. You know, you can't do for everyone, but you can do for one. Do for one what you can't do for everyone. Sometimes people want things to be fair. We can't always stand for everyone the same way, but we can stand for Christina. So I'm going to ask you guys to do that, to pray for her family, to pray for her children, to pray for Brett, and to pray for her. Okay? Are you guys with me on that? Can we get like real about that? That's what we're doing. When my kids get in the car, if I'm with all three of them, then my oldest, Kellen, I make him strap Jet in with his belt. And I've kind of talked about, I've had some jokes about strapping in with the belt before. But when our kids listen and they do what they're told, they get points. And these are the points that they get. So Kellen is the white ping pong balls and Jet is the yellow. And when they get 20 points, they have these other canisters, then they get a toy. Because we're trying to control the amount of toys that we give our kids. So now it's like, because they ask all the time, so we're like, now we have to have some measurable system of getting a toy. And so now we do this thing to help them behave and listen. And there's three different ways that Kellen helps in the car, because I have him help with Jet when he gets into the car. And sometimes when he comes into the car, I'm like, Kellen, we can't go anywhere until you strap Jet in, because it's in the third row, so he has to climb back through, and I'm not going to climb back through because I'm 36 and it hurts my hip, and you need to do it. You're a six-year-old. Go do it. So I'm like, you need to go, and you need to strap him in. And he's like, oh, I don't want to do it. And I'm like, do it. You need to do what Daddy says. That's a weird sentence. You need to do it. Do what Daddy says. That's just weird. And he's like, okay. And I'm like, we're not going anywhere. I do the thing, I take my hands off. We're not going anywhere. We're not going anywhere until you get strapped in. And I did a tight lip thing. We're not going anywhere until you get strapped in. And so then he does it. So that's a lot of times how it goes. Sometimes he knows when he does what we ask that he gets his points. So sometimes there's another way he comes into the car. He comes in and he goes, hey, Dad, I'm going to go strap Jet in. Aren't I good? And I'm like, yes, you're good. He's like, maybe I can get 2 points for that. And I'm like, maybe you can. Just kidding. maybe you can. And so it's like, sometimes I'm like, yeah, that was really good. And you can tell like he's doing it, but he's doing it because he wants something. He's like going to get something in return. So it's like, he's like not begrudgingly doing it. He's doing it because he actually wants something, but he's doing it in a good way. And it's like, okay, this is progress. And then sometimes he gets into the car and he goes over to Redding. He goes, sister, are you all strapped in? Okay. He gives her a kiss. Good thing. He goes over and he straps in Jet. He straps himself and he goes, Dad, we're all strapped in and we're ready to go and we're safe. And I'm like, there is a God in heaven. And he doesn't want a point. He just does it. And then he'll even say it. It's like these moments that you can't capture. Like he'll even say like, I just want everyone to be safe before we go driving because it can be dangerous. And I'm like, you're my son. You're mine. And it's amazing. And then he's doing it for the right reason. I'm not having to force him to do it. And I'm not giving him something necessarily. He's not doing it to get something. He's actually doing it for the right reason. It's like, oh, the message got through. And there's something about being a father, fathers, mothers, teachers, coaches. We love when our kids do the right thing for the right reason, don't we? Don't we love when our kids do the right thing for the right reason? Like, we don't have to force them all the time to put their shoes on. They don't get something if they do the right thing and they put their shoes on. They just put them on and they do it. Simple. Whatever it is. If you're a boss or you're an employee and it's like, oh, I wish they kind of got why we're doing this. When they do it for the right reason, it's like, oh, they're in it. Because what it really means when someone does something for the right reason is that it's kind of gone from just their hands to their head to into their heart. Into their heart. It's like they get it. It's important to them. It's not just important to someone else. It's important to them. And a lot of times, and today is a We Can't update, and I just want to like remind everybody the process and the place that you might be and where you should be in terms of giving. Because there's three different ways that people typically give financially to a church. It's like this. These are the three different kind of breakdowns. The first one is because you feel like you have to. You literally feel like, I have to give this. So it's like someone wants me to do this. I'm going to put this up on the TV. Can we do that for them, or put it over here somewhere? Maybe not. Whoa. Yeah, the first reason is someone wants you to. Like, some people give because you feel like God is mad at you if you don't give. Or you feel like you have to, but you don't want to. It's like this pressure from the outside. Maybe you grow up giving to a church because the pastor would say it, and you're like, oh man, if I don't do it, I'm gonna get in trouble. That's one of the reasons people give. If that's you today, like, that is not at all why God wants you to give or how God wants you to give. You know, it's not like, I don't want Kellen to get in and I have to tell, girl, you better go strap him in before we go, because I'm telling you, if you don't. That's not the relationship God wants with you. That's not the way he wants us to function in this life with him. And sometimes it's, you want something. So some of us kind of graduate beyond doing the thing we don't want to do and doing it because of behavior and that's it, to, okay, I'm going to do this because I've learned that I get something in return. And the scriptures actually say that you can give and God will bless you. He will bless you with different material possessions. He will bless you with just a totally different generous heart. He will bless you in lots of different ways in community. There are ways. In fact, God actually says, if your heart's not in it, test me in giving and I will bless you. When he says, test me, the idea is, I know your heart's not in it. I know your heart is not in it, but I want you to learn to do it. And so some of us are in that process of just doing the right thing because we get something out of it. Just doing the right thing because you get something out of it. You might see that in other areas of your life. You might see that in the way you eat or the way you exercise or the way you engage with people. That like you're kind of doing it, but really like you're bartering, and it's become this pragmatic worldview of, I'm going to put over here and then I'm going to get something out of it. And some of you, the problem with doing it because you get something out of it is when you give and you don't get something out of it, or you don't get the thing that you wanted out of it. That's why it's a very bad idea to stop right there. Because you think, oh, I'm going to give and then I'll get out. Okay, this is an investment strategy. This is a financial strategy. This is how I'm going to grow. And then it doesn't come at you the way that God intended it to come at you, or the blessing is different, or the material is just different than you thought. And you're going, oh man, I lost on my investment. You see, the scriptures in the Old Testament, they talk about giving. And he says in the Old Testament, God says this in Malachi, test me. Basically, do it even if your heart's not in it, and God will bless you. But it also says in the Old Testament through these minor prophets, it says God hates divorce. In the same book, it says God hates divorce. And a lot of us hear God hates divorce, and we think he's talking about marriage. It's not about marriage. It's actually about the priests who are going through the priestly duties, sacrificing the animals and doing the different burnt offerings and doing the different prayers and doing all the ceremonial ritualistic worship pieces. And they're doing it exactly how they should. They're obeying, but their hearts aren't in it. And when God says, I hate divorce, he's talking about going through the motions without having it in a heart level. Basically, just continuing to give. Just continue to give. I mean, it applies. You understand the idea of just doing something because you get something in return is not God's final destination and plan for you in all of your life, including a marriage, including how you live your life, and especially in your finances. So this is what we do, right? Some of us do it because we want to, because someone wants to, so we feel like we have to. Some of us do it because we get something back. And then the third one, the one that God says he wants you to do, is do it because you want to. Do it because you want to. It's not just for the points. It's not just for the payoff. It's because you actually have something that happens in your heart where you have been transformed, and it's hard to describe. But you've been transformed to where you have this pragmatic view, to where your heart like literally like the shell of stone breaks off of your heart and it becomes soft and you start to give and love and experience life the way that God wants you to experience it, which is this tender heart of giving because of love. Isn't it funny that God kind of lives in this tension between the second thing and the third thing? Because he knows that it's very difficult for your heart to get to the place of giving for the right reason. He knows that. So he makes it a command. Jesus makes giving a command. He makes loving a command. Think about it. The greatest commandment Jesus says is love God and love others. So should we love God when we don't want to? Absolutely, begrudgingly, keep going. What about when you want something back? Okay, God's like, fine, just keep moving towards it. But and here's a rule, love me, love each other. And when you actually do that, then it gets into your heart. You don't just love because God told you to, you love because that's life. That is life to the fullest. When you're unbridled, when you're opened up, when you're generous, when you care, the Bible says it's better to give than to receive. If that doesn't make sense to you, your heart has not arrived at this third place. Because you think, how could it be better? How could it be better to do something I don't want to do? How could it be better to sometimes take a risk, roll the dice, and not have it pay off? How could that be better? Better is not about you getting something. Better is not just about jumping through hoops. Better is when your heart becomes soft and you give because of love and you want to give and you cherish giving and you enjoy the blessing of seeing someone else's life improve. That's what God's plan. Look what God says through Paul in the New Testament about giving to the local church. I have never put this passage in front of our church before in all the different talks I've done throughout We Can't. He says, each of you should give what you have decided where? In your heart. I'll tell you to do it. I'll show you to do it. I'll test you to do it. But my goal is that I have moved all of this information into the subterranean nature of your heart to where your heart is soft. And now you want to give. You desire to give. Do not give reluctantly or under compulsion, but for God loves a cheerful giver. Now, this does not mean that God doesn't love people who don't give cheerfully. What it means is that God's intention for you to give is that his number one goal, what he approves of, what he goes, that's what I'm looking for. That's it. Yes, that excites me. You excite God when your heart is soft and you love to give to God. The word cheerful, translated specifically, means hilariously. So what God is saying is, I love it when someone's heart is at such a soft space that they just give hilariously. How many of us have gotten to that place where we give hilariously? If you don't give financially, if you don't reach out hilariously, then you have still room for your heart to get softer. That's what my heart is for you guys. To see your heart start to just get soft to where you want to give. And the way that this happens is where you continue to look at Jesus and you continue to look that he didn't do it begrudgingly. He didn't do it because he got something for it. He gave his entire life. He died on a cross. He went through Roman crucifixion because he wanted to, because in his heart, he was like, I love them and I will do what I need to do. Is that sacrifice? Fine, my heart. Is that giving more than I thought? Fine, my heart's there. No matter what it is. And until you see following God, loving your neighbor, giving to the church financially, trusting God, being obedient in every way, that way, until you see it as an opportunity to truly trust and love, you won't get to that place. And until you understand what Jesus did and the place he did it from, it's going to be tough for you to emulate it. Jesus gave so that we could all win. He wanted us to gain from his loss. His generosity came from the right heart. So my question for you, like, where is your heart today? Like, does your heart, is it soft? Are you giving hilariously? Are you giving cheerfully? If you don't understand it, you have to kind of go back to what it is that started this whole process. Fathers love it when their kids do the right things for the right reasons. God loves when we do the right things for the right reasons. Let me give you the perfect example of what I'm talking about. This week, like I said, I sat down with Brett and we talked. And he said, I've cried all my tears. And I just found myself like so sad with everything he's going through. And he looked at me and he said, you know what the most surprising thing of this whole thing is? I'm like, okay, like here's a guy that's going through what very few people go through. He's gone through extreme, you know, challenges and extreme questions and pressures and of faith and patience and trusting God with his future. He said, you know what the most surprising thing is? I said, what? He said, I cannot believe how generous people are. And I started crying. He said, of all the things, what has shocked me the most is that in our time of need, people have reached out to us. People have shown us love. People have given us things. This church, our friends, our family. He almost got a little bit, like he had a resolve. He was like, no one can tell me that the people who love God aren't generous. I was like, wow. There's something about someone being sick that moves people to do practical things because they recognize a need and they move from, I do it begrudgingly to do it because I get something to doing it because they want to. Do you understand the spiritual implications of what the local church is? When you understand that there are people who are spiritually separated from God, people who are, when they die, they are going to be eternally separated from God, that their life on earth has no real life because life is only found in Christ, when you understand what hangs in the balance, giving to the local church becomes easy. Let's go help people. Let's go reach people. Let's go see people's lives get saved. Let's see sick people physically, spiritually come to life in Christ. Their only hope is what we decide to do over the next couple of months. Imagine the people who will be lost and separated from God if we don't understand generosity. So here's the deal. I want you guys to stand up. We're going to sing a song. You guys can stand up now. We're going to sing a song, and I'm going to ask for everybody in here to say a prayer that I have called throughout my life the most humble prayer that you can pray. There's two things that you can say that are true humility. And the scripture says that a broken spirit and a contrite heart, contrition, humility, God will never despise. He will never turn away. And so what I want you to pray, and I just want you to just maybe close your eyes. I want you to either put your hand out like this if you're not used to doing like the hand thing at church. Put your hand out like this. And if you're more comfortable, put your hand up like this. And when you put your hand out like this, it's basically like saying, God, I am going to take whatever it is you give me. I'm open to you, God. I want you to take whatever out of my hand that you need to and put whatever in my hand you need to. And here's what I want you guys to pray. We're going to practice together because I think it's the most humble prayer you can ever pray in your life. And I believe that God will meet you in it, and it will be the direction, the peace that changes your heart. You're going to say this prayer. Say, God, change me. Everybody say that. Say, God, change me. That is a humble prayer because it assumes you need changed. It assumes you need help. Say this to God. Say, God, change my heart. Say that. Say, God, change my heart. Let's pray together. Father, we need you to change our hearts. We know our hearts are hard. We know that we give reluctantly. We know that we give under compulsion. We know we give to get points. We do. God, take me to a new space in my heart where it's soft, and I really want to give. I really want to trust you. I really want to be obedient, where I just want to help me find the joy and the surrender and the freedom and the goodness in trusting you. God, help me to see that even if I have very little, you've given me everything I've got. Please help me to see that even if I'm struggling, please help me to see that even if I don't have much, God, but you gave me the lungs that I have, the breath in those lungs. You've given me my life, God. Help me to understand that. Change my heart, God. From this day forward, we ask in Jesus' name.